Hi, thank you so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Let's continue our conversation about the urgency for the sexual harassment bill to be tabled after a series of incidences involving the police. Joining us on the line now, we have Yurin Chung. He's the Deputy Executive Director of the NGO Women's Aid Organization. Ren Chung, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us on the line. What has been WAO's experience when it comes to engaging with the police force? I mean, both in your work offering shelter to women in distress, but also in your advocacy work. How has that engagement been when it comes to police attitudes towards women, towards gender sensitivity?
Yeah. I think for WAO, we have a quite different experience than the general public. The reason is we work directly with the 11 unit, which is the unit that is in charge of investigating domestic violence, sexual assault, and child abuse cases. So that unit actually is specifically trained to address these cases, and we have sort of a long-standing relationship with that particular unit. So for us, that unit, D11, is always it's quite effective and efficient, and they do their job really well in responding to any issue that we would bring to them. I think the issue here more is what the general public experiences. So that general public would sort of deal with any frontline officer, be it at the roadblock, be it at any border police or any other facility. So I think the experience that WAO faces is sort of a bit different than what the general public may face.
Ren Chung, I want to ask you precisely this, right? You have a sort of a situation of domestic violence, and it's the, you know, the patrolling car, the Kreta Ronda that comes by. Those police officers, are they well equipped to understand what's going on? Do they revert to cultural expectations about, well, men and women, husbands and wives, you know, the family kind of thing? What's happening there?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to generalize because, you know, I mean, for us, there are two things, right? So we do get complaints from the public. So that, by definition, is already problematic cases. On the other hand, we also work directly with the D11 unit that is specifically trained to handle issues. So then they are a bit more positive. But I think the point here is that, you know, when we're dealing with the police force, it's important that it can't just be, in general, they're good. They all have to be good. You know, imagine if just one officer is sort of not trained or just is not aware, that one officer is going to be engaging, not just, of course, every case is important, but that one officer is going to be engaging in so many different interactions. So imagine...
Well, Ren, sorry to interrupt you, but Ren, you know, when these two women came out, you know, spoke out on Twitter about their experiences being harassed at a roadblock, it triggered conversations with other women on social media sharing their own experiences. Almost every woman seems to have had some kind of a run-in or an uncomfortable experience, you know, dealing with authorities, in this particular instance, PDRM, the police officers. I'm wondering whether, you know, just judging from the chorus of women who've come up to say that they've experienced something similar, is this an institutional problem that we're looking at, or is this just a few bad apples?
I think we have to look at it as an institutional problem. The reason is, you know, even if you say that only one of, you know, a few bad apples in PDRM, I mean, that may be true, but even a few bad apples are enough to really affect many individuals. I mean, just think of it as, you know, how many roadblocks are there in the country? Imagine we had 100 roadblocks, and, you know, at two roadblocks, there are two officers who are sexually harassing people who come by. I mean, that those two officers are going to be interacting with hundreds and maybe thousands of individuals over the course of days and weeks. So we have to look at it as an institutional problem. We cannot just say, you know, it's only one or two people. It, even a few, a small percentage of officers who are not trained or acting appropriately, or, you know, in this case, conduct sexual harassment, is already a huge problem, and we need institutional solutions to this.
Ren Chung, do you think that having more women police officers would change the dynamics of the way police operate? And what would have to go specifically into the training of women, or that would make them, you know, advocates for change within the police force?
I think it's both. I mean, I think, you know, studies have shown that adding gender diversity in various fields of work does make a difference. So that is, you know, I think in the police force, you can think of it as, you know, police women do experience things differently as women compared to than men. They might be more sensitive and more aware of certain things, but of course that's not enough. You know, even, you know, police officers of any gender needs to receive training. It needs to be at two levels. So one, you can think of it as every police officer needs to have basic training on sensitivity, gender sensitivity, on how to handle, how to deal with cases of sensitive nature, like sexual harassment, domestic violence, and so on. And then there's also a special training needed for a special force of police officers, which is the D11 officers who may need a different kind of training.
Ren, you talked a little bit about the need for institutional solutions. You know, I'm thinking about the sexual harassment bill as a necessary legislation to be put in place. Is there urgency? Is there enough urgency for us to see this this bill materialize into law?
I mean, I think the public's view is clear. There's been, you know, three or four public surveys done over the past 2 years that demonstrate the urgency, that demonstrate that this is a big problem. I think the most clearest example is a study done by YouGov in 2019 that showed that 28% of Malaysians, which was 36%, so one of three women in Malaysia have experienced sexual harassment. Numerous other studies have been done, including by the government itself. So, just looking at judging by the response that time and again we see cases of sexual harassment coming up into the public sphere, and the reaction that it brings from the public, starting with the, you know, I think the Sungai Buloh doctor incident, up till now, mm-hmm. where we see incidents of police officers allegedly conducting sexual harassment, and the public response has been huge. Top story news and top conversations, social media. So in terms of the research, in terms of the public response, there is urgency. There's so much urgency. The question really now is the government going to do anything about it, and when? You know, we've heard the phrase, you know, we've heard so many times, oh, it's going to be in March, it's going to be in this year, end of this year, it's going to be this and then. And, you know, until now, we haven't seen, you know, in particular with this new government, we haven't seen much movement in terms of where we were and where we said we would be.
Right. Well, we'll have to keep pushing, you know, that agenda, make sure that it remains in the consciousness of the public. Thank you so much, Ren, for joining us on the show tonight. We appreciate your time. That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching, and good night.